Hey, friend, welcome back here to the Semi Seminary. And here we are, another week, another episode of our Bible study series that we lovingly like to refer to as the Bible for Grownups. This week, we're going to kick off a 2 or 3 week small mini series within the greater series. And rather than looking at these Bible stories that we know but we get wrong sometimes, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to take just Bible verses that so many people think they know, apply to their lives, live as if it's true, but the truth is, I don't really know the whole story. Tonight we're going to look at this issue of judgment with a very, very, very well-known Bible verse. It comes to us from the 7th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 and 2. Judge not ye... Judge not, lest ye be judged. I'll see you on the other side. So, what we do, what we try to do is we look at the Bible from this perspective of maybe that there's more to it than maybe we learned as kids. And what we do most times is we look at Bible stories and then we Bible stories maybe we learned as kids, then we actually learn them as adults and realize what they have to say. So we're going to do, it's the same idea, but we're actually going to, over the next couple weeks, rather than looking at whole Bible stories, I thought it might be interesting in the same vein, if we looked at Bible verses that are very familiar, rather than stories, but Bible verses that are very familiar, and actually look, do we know what they say when they know what we mean when we say them? So next week, let me give an example, okay? So next week, we're going to look at one of the most popular verses in the Bible. It comes to the Old Testament. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. If you've been around the church almost even a little bit, you've probably heard this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to bless you and to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future," right? A lot of us like that verse. We know that verse. Excellent. Next week, I want to show you what that verse actually doesn't mean what you think it means. But before you throw your coffee mug away or the plaque that you might have in the bathroom that it says that, right? Before you do that, after we look at it in context, I think you'll actually love that verse more than you do now. But today, we're going to look at another one of these Bible verses that almost everybody knows, but so many people actually get wrong. And it comes to us the very beginning of the gospel account according to Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 7. And it's verses 1 and 2. This is one of most quoted Bible verses, especially by non-Christians. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. This very popular verse. He said, "Do not judge or you too will be judged," right? Often we actually just kind of hear that as you can't judge me. Don't judge me. It's almost kind of has this attitude. Or you may have heard it the old timey way from the King James Version. Judge not lest ye be judged. It's funny because there are people who don't believe in the Bible. Want to run the Bible through the mud, and yet, boy, they believe in this verse. Non-Christians will say this one to you with attitude. Jesus said, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." In other words, you have no right to tell me how to live. I'll do whatever it is I want with my life. You do whatever you want with your life. You're a sinner too, right? It doesn't matter. As long as I'm able to do what makes me happy, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Right? That's not the correct interpretation, but that's the interpretation so often people apply in their lives. In fact, I'd argue it's one of the most pervasive values in our culture today. Tolerate everything as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. Mind your own business. Every kind of behavior, every kind of belief system, whatever, right? You have no right to tell me right or wrong. Do not judge or you will be judged. The truth is, it stinks to be judged, right? We've all probably felt like at some point in our lives, just by virtue of having parents and being the great children we are, that at some point we probably have felt wrongly judged. It's no secret that the number one theme of non-Christians that drives non-Christians away from Christianity is this belief that Christians are just so judgmental. They're so narrow-minded. They're hypocrites. They're judgmental. Jesus said, do not judge or you too will be judged. But is that exactly what he's saying? In other words, if it's true, then we have to acknowledge that, right, no teacher has a right to give you a grade. Who's to say whether that's an A or a B? You have no right to tell me what to do. Is that what Jesus is saying here? And I think we probably would have to agree, kind of taking the Bible hat off just for a second, maybe to some degree we're allowed to judge. Think about it. Let me ask a couple of questions, right? For example, you have the right to judge somebody's funny haircut, right? I can't believe they did that. Right. Do you have right to judge that? Sure. Right. I don't know. Right. Who are you to be a judge? What if some random guy, this is more real. What if some random guy at work, he's married, but he's flirty. You don't know him. Do you have right to speak into his life and say, hey, bro, you're married. You have a right to do that or not? What if he's your best friend or she's your best friend to go to church together? They're a Christian, right? They're married, but he's flirty. That looks really bad on their personal testimony. Do you have the right, as someone that you share Christian community with, do you have the right to speak life into their life? Or are you to never judge? Right? We need to understand that when we look at these things that often we look at, and we think of as childish things or things that everybody just knows, we always find a common denominator with those, right? It's complicated. It's very, very important to get right. It's important that we get a concept. What does Jesus mean when he says, judge not lest ye be judged? What is Jesus actually saying? Because it is so important in our relationships with God, so important with our relationships with each other, that we get this right, and it's complicated. So many of us have got this scripture wrong over time. So how do we accurately interpret or understand scripture? How do we actually maybe fix the way we think? How do we do this? Well, we need to talk about three things when we do this. Number one, we need to understand the context. And that's my big thing, right, in my viewing, my personal interpretation of the Bible, is really, really grasping what the context of the world of the Bible is, what the context of the people who wrote the words down and their intended audiences and what the original hearers of these words, what those words would have meant to them. Super, super important to me. It's context within the story. We need to understand this. And we need to do what so often other people do, and that's take one single kind of Bible verse out of context and just apply it in all different weird kind of ways. We need to know who wrote it. Why did they write it? To whom were they writing? What comes before the verse? What comes after the verse? We don't just pull a Bible verse out of context like a magic trick. We must understand the context. The second thing, if we really want to grasp an understanding, a better interpretation of Scripture, the second thing is we need to use other scriptures to interpret Scripture. The best thing to use to interpret the Bible is the Bible. In other words, we're not going to just interpret Bible verses based on how we feel about it. We're not going to say, this is what the Bible means because this is how I want this Bible verse to speak, right? No, we have to use other parts of the Bible to interpret the Bible. We cannot, or it is faulty and it is illogical, we cannot build a personal theology on one Bible verse that's taken out of context. We can't do it. We need to be able to look and see, what does the Bible say about the same idea or the same theme or the same topic? So what we need to do, if we really want to gain an understanding, especially in this tonight's context of Judge Not, we need to look at what the totality of God says throughout God's Word so we can build a theology upon that. The third thing that I always want to remind myself first and then others is, as we do this and we gain deeper and better understanding, we're not to just be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the same. We need to be able to interpret what the Bible has for us and for our lives, and then we need to apply it. It's not just a text to be studied, but it's a letter. It's a love letter from God to His people, and it needs to be lived. So, with these ideas of context and stuff in our mind, let's look at chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. So, what comes before Matthew chapter 7? Matthew chapter 6. Okay, in Matthew chapter 6, one of the big themes of that book is Jesus speaking to these religious leaders called the Pharisees, and it's all about hypocrisy, right? Jesus is railing on these religious leaders about what he sees as their hypocrisy. We get to Matthew 7, and then we see Jesus say, "Judge not." And later on in that same chapter, we see, watch out, be on your guard, be aware of false prophets. Now, if I'm not allowed to judge, how am I going to deem someone a false prophet? To do so would require me to make a judgment that that person is not of God. In the very same chapter, Jesus says, do not judge. He actually implies that there are times when you are going to have to make a judgment. So, is that what is he really saying? Hypocrisy? And he actually says in the very same chapter, watch out for false prophets. What I want to show you very clearly is that Jesus is not telling us we should not live with discernment. Too many double negatives there. Jesus is telling us we are to live with discernment, the decision-making process that is prodded by the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's not telling us that we never have the right to speak into the lives of other believers that we're in Christian community with. What he is saying is that when we do, we need to be very, very careful and never judge hypocritically. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. The same measure you judge others, so too will you be measured. 1 and 2, chapter 7. Then verse 3, in context, Jesus goes on to say, again, probably a part of the Bible you've heard before, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? He continues, how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all of the time there's a plank in your eye? And then he says, you hypocrite. Again, remember, the big theme of the teaching here, as we look at this portion of scripture in context, is more about hypocrisy than it is about judgment. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly, so that you can remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, right, you're not ever going to hold yourself back. and not try to help your brother or sister to see more clearly, but you're also not to sit back and pick everybody else apart when you've got your own problems. Right? He's saying, look in the mirror first. Don't just pick apart other people's faults when you might have big issues in your life. He's saying, don't judge hypocritically. Right? So what I want to do now is context. Now let's interpret the Bible with the Bible. So I'd like to look at other verses that deal with this very important and very complicated topic of judgment. What's clear about judgment, the first thing, is that Jesus teaches us that we should never judge superficially. He teaches us to never judge superficially. But here's the thing. The truth is, almost every one of us do this. And not only do, we do it often. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 24, right? And if you're looking at it in paper, as these lines are in red, so this is Jesus speaking. He says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Whoa. Right? Jesus says there is a time to judge, and when you do judge, judge accurately. Judge correctly. But please do not judge by just mere appearances. As a church, right, what we need to do and be is to be people who are for God. Not judging people from a distance, not hypocritically, but giving people the benefit of the doubt. Choosing to believe the best in other people. Not judging just by mere appearances, but believe and trust. Believe the best about people. Jesus teaches us, number one, that we should never judge superficially. Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes two-thirds almost of the New Testament, says that we should never judge hypocritically. Right? We don't judge superficially. We don't judge hypocritically. In fact, he's talking to some Jesus believers in the city of Rome, and that's the book of Romans. This letter he writes, the book of Romans, is to Roman Christians. That's how it gets his name. In this letter, he says, hey guys, right? When you're pointing out the sins of other people, Paul says, be careful. He says this in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. He says, you may think you condemn such people, but you are just as bad. You have no excuse. When you say that they are wicked and they should be punished, you're condemning yourself. For you who judge others, do these very same things. And this is great, because in verse 4, Paul's tone changes, though. Right? There's a grace and a passion now that speaks through Paul's voice after what is a scolding. There's grace, there's passion. Paul says, verse 4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, patient God is with you? In other words, why are you picking other people apart? God's been gracious to you. You think you're perfect? I mean, who are you? God's waiting on you to change too. He says, does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that God's kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? Don't judge hypocritically. But what is it that we do? This is so incredibly common. We tend to accuse others and excuse ourselves. So often what happens is, we choose to accuse others, but often we'll turn that blind eye and we'll excuse ourselves. Oh my goodness, you ought to hear what they did. Right? Do you know what I heard about them? Oh, I don't know the whole story, right? But if you just know what I know, you'd understand, right? That kind of stuff. We accuse others, we excuse ourselves. And here's where, here's something that I've definitely painfully in my life, not recently, but over the course of decades, I've come to discover that often the places where we hold the harshest judgment of others often reveals our greatest weaknesses, right? The place where we often issue our hardest judgment of others often will reveal our deepest weakness. It's true, right? Whenever I find myself quick to judge someone on something, I have to stop and perhaps think about why. Because often that's an indication, maybe, that I should look in the mirror about something, right? Maybe there's some kind of sinfulness in my heart. When we judge others, we are condemning ourselves, Paul says. This is why I think as Christians, especially when it comes to judgment, we need to be careful. And I also think this is why over and over and over again in the Bible, it says, if you're gonna correct people, be very careful if you do it, or you might be tempted as well. Never judge hypocritically. Pardon me. Never judge superficially. Number three, I think this is the part maybe that most Christians get wrong. And this is the part I think if more Christians got right, Christianity with relation to non-Christians would be different. Okay? Number three, it's important that we need to understand that the Bible instructs us that we are not to hold non-Christians to Christian standards. We are not called to. The Bible does not instruct us to hold those outside of the family of God to our own family standards. In fact, Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 5 and 12, what business is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? In other words, if they're not Jesus followers, who am I to tell them they should be living another way? That's none of my business. Then Paul says, are you not to judge those inside? It's God's to judge those outside. In other words, if we're believers, we're together. As iron sharpens iron, we are supposed to together help one another, spur one another, Scripture says, on to good works, to show love, to help gently restore people who might have fallen away in this period or that period of their life. Aren't we to help other members of our family? Right? I can't hold your kids accountable to my family rules. Not my business. Not my family. Right? If somebody outside the family of God, if there is somebody outside the family of God, we don't hold them accountable to Christian family rules. It's not our place to judge those outside the family. This is probably the number one reason why many non-Christians step away or stop or never even consider pursuing God, because this idea of judgmentalism and the hypocrisy of the Christian belief, right? You should never act like that. And then they're saying, I've seen you. I grew up with you. I've seen you do worse things, right? We should not lovingly, respectfully, we should not hold those outside the family of God to those inside the family of God. It's God's place to deal with them. It's our place to love one another. This is so important that we get this right. Do not judge others, Jesus says, or you too will be judged. He's not telling us that we do not have the right or calling to speak life into someone else's life. In fact, I will guarantee you there are times within the family of the body of Christ we are supposed to come and help each other. So what does the Bible say about judging? Don't judge superficially. Don't judge hypocritically. Don't call outside those outside of the family of God to live according to God's family rules. Number four, always help restore fallen believers. Always help restore fallen believers. The reason why this is so important is because at least in some area of your life, one day this will be you. This will be me at some point. We are all vulnerable to temptation. None of us gets it right all the time. In the family of God, when somebody strays, family members come and they say, "We love you too much to just let you go down that road of destruction, that road of sin. Let's get back together lovingly on the path of righteousness." If we're to love like Jesus loved, then we need to be willing to help others. We need to be open to correction from others. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians 6, 1 and 2, he says, "Brothers and sisters," now who's he talking to? Brothers and sisters inside the family. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, right? Well, wait, remember, who's to say it's a sin if we're not supposed to be judging? Who are you to judge if it's a sin? No, this is within the family. People in the family. We agree as believers. That's a part of what our implicit contract is with other believers, is that we agree that God's word is truth. And when there is clear teaching from the Bible, we're going to live according to that. Right? If someone is living according to something that's contrary to God's word, we call that a sin. Is it politically correct to do so today? Not so much. If someone that we love is living contrary to God's word, it's called a sin. Right? But what should we do about that person? Gossip about them? Kick them out of the church? Kick them when they're down? Shoot the wounded, right? Tell them, "You're going to go to hell, right? Where the worm never dies and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." That kind of stuff? No. But we hear about that kind of stuff all the time. What should we do? We should live by the Spirit. Restore that person, Scripture says, gently. With the same grace you have been shown, you show it to them. With the same love that you have been shown by God and that you would like to receive yourself, you show them. With the same grace that God has poured upon you, you give to them. You restore them. And then Paul says, but he's not done. "Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." Again, something very simple but complicated that we need to get right. Because so often what happens is the moment that we start correcting others, we become vulnerable to pride. And pride comes before a fall, right? We don't want to fall as well. The moment we start in this correcting business, we need to do so wisely and lovingly, with discernment, right? And then this is beautiful. Verse 2, Paul says, here's what we do in the family of God. We carry each other's burdens. When someone is down, we take the burden off of them. We love them back. We carry each other's burdens. And in this way, we fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. Right? This is who we should be as followers of Jesus. And this is how we do it. This is why we do it. The same grace that forgives us is the same grace we use to restore others. When Jesus came, John chapter 1, verse 14, Scripture says Jesus came full of grace and truth. When Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. Now, I can't prove stuff like this, but I have a theory, and that is that the word grace or charis comes first here. That Jesus came full of grace and truth. But here is the problem in the church world so often today. Right? When there's all truth, but no grace, it drives people away. Right? You have to behave like this. That's not right. You've got to do it this way. Right? The Bible says this and it's true. And whenever you bang people over the head with all judgment and all truth and no grace, they drive them into rebellion. Right? Forget that. I'll just do what I want then. The other side, though, another part I think we get wrong. We could see that one so easily. Right? I think this is more, parents often get this one, I think. When it's all grace and no truth. Oh, God loves you. You can do whatever you want. God loves everybody. You can do whatever you want. Who am I to judge? All behavior is equal. All beliefs are equal. You can just do whatever you want. That's all grace, no truth. Right? And that leads to people just living how they want. When Jesus came, he came full of grace, a loving kindness that draws people to repentance. And he came full of truth. And you know the truth and it'll set you free. Right? The same way we're forgiven, grace, the same truth that says that we need a Savior is how we proclaim God to those around us. So brothers and sisters, when someone you love is caught in a sin, what do? We restore them gently, carefully. Jesus said, do not judge or you too will be judged. He didn't say that we never have the right to speak life into someone's life. But that's our modern cultural interpretation of that scripture. Right? Remember, and that doing what you want is stupid and dangerous. Don't judge hypocritically. Remember that your harshest judgment might be revealing your greatest weakness. We don't hold members of those outside the family of God to family standards. And when someone gets in the family and gets in trouble, we love them too much to let them continue to hurt themselves. And the same grace that's been given to us, we give to them as we share the truth with them and bring them back to the paths of righteousness. The truth of Jesus is what sets us free, and that's how we accurately interpret Scripture here to show Jesus bringing healing and restoration to us, that people might find grace and that we all might be transformed by the loving kindness of God, which gathers all people to repentance. That was wordy at the end. Sorry about that. Any questions? Does that make sense? Anybody? Okay, thanks. Well, there's no doubt about it. This understanding the Bible business as adults, really, it seems so simple, yet when we really start to dive into it, it's really more complicated than we think. One of the things I think that tonight's lesson teaches us is that it gives us an opportunity with God to have rights and responsibilities. A discernment that through God's Spirit gives us an opportunity to make decisions, to make judgment calls. But we're not just to use that gift any way we see fit. That gift has to be used for the glory of God and within the parameters of God's judgment and God's righteousness, the truth we find in Holy Scripture. It's easy to understand. It is so much harder to live it out. It's something that requires a greater deal of thought than we often give it. And a reason why we should take this understanding the Bible business so much more seriously. Anyway,
is something to think about. Hey, friend, I'll see you next week. And until then, be well.